Hey, everybody, this is Joel, and before we get to Joel Radio number 99, I want to let you know that about the 85-minute mark of today's show, you're going to hear a weird edit, and it may not make a lot of sense, but we ended up losing about 11 minutes of show due to me completely screwing up and not having enough hard drive space to tape the show. And, of course, you should be taping your show if you are making your own podcast on two different sources so this doesn't happen. Of course, my second source is an MP3 player where I never hit the record button on that at all. So I completely screwed up. I apologize. You may not get the reference to Planter's cheese balls that you're going to hear towards the very end of the show. There was also some talk about Hostess going out of business, new versus old Coke, and other nonsense that, you know, I apologize that you missed. It was some very good radio done by my friends Corey Hall and Rob Rose with me this week. And I want to apologize for that mistake. Having said that, though, you still get a good 90 minutes. Enjoy Joel Radio number 99. Okay, everybody, welcome to Joel Radio. It's 2013 now, we can say that. For real.
Woo!
Yes, sir. A new year, welcome everybody to Joel Radio. Corey Hall over there.
20-0-3-3.
I'm Joel, by the way.
Hi.
Yeah.
Joel,
well, because I always introduce you, and I feel like I don't introduce myself. People may not realize who's who. You're Corey, I'm Joel.
Sure.
There's Rob Rose over there, too, joining us.
Sitting to my right, the fog cutter.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Rob, how's it going? Happy New Year to Rob. Happy New Year to everybody listening.
Yeah, glad to be here.
We're in our sort of, you know, the last two shows we did were sort of part of our year-in-review shows.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a movie show yet to do, but I'm...
Yeah, we're not done.
I'm behind on seeing movies, which is why we're not doing that today.
We did Assholes of the Year.
Sure.
We did TV Best and Worst.
Yeah.
We're going to do a movie show.
We're going to do a movie show next time in all likelihood.
We've got the best in QVC products, I think. best avocados, I think.
We'll figure out.
Best awkward kitchen podcast.
Hey. Oh, well, you know, that's okay. Let's move on.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Well, thanks, Rob, for that.
Oh, that's one of our fine listeners.
Yes.
Does a show. You should get Awkwardly Hilarious Kitchen Time. You should watch
with
that.
Tanya, yeah. Go watch that. Rob was watching it before the show.
It's the best of the awkward kitchen podcast
genre.
Oh, that,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. That's
the gold standard.
Yeah. So you guys.
The Hill Street Blues.
Right.
Of awkward girls trying to do comedy in the kitchen.
Big ups. Really, yeah. Big ups. Shout out. Keep doing what you're doing.
Top of the pops. All right.
All right, so anyway, we got, what are we going to do today? We're going to recap a little bit of, you know, we were, because we did, should I let people in on the secret that we haven't done a show in 6 weeks? Because
No, okay.
All right, I won't tell anyone, we put the last two in the can on the same day,
yeah.
And I haven't seen you in a month and a half.
Yeah.
But here we are, so that's
there it is.
I thought the second secret. One lacked energy, that's why I guess.
Thank
now,
you.
Oh yeah, now see, that's why I shouldn't reveal the secret.
You don't know which one we did first.
No. We could have done, yeah.
Good point.
And I don't even remember which one we did first, but there was a lot of debate about which one to do first.
It's obvious which one you did first.
I don't know that it is, but anyway.
I'm just kidding.
And speaking of that, I see you staring at the douchebag hotline.
Well, I think we should announce the winner.
But you know what, I've got to redo that whole sign.
Okay.
I need to make a real sign for the new thing because
the phone line that no one calls.
Well, tell everybody what the plan was if they didn't listen to the Assholes of the Year.
If you did not listen to Assholes of the Year, and why didn't you? Because it's free, for God's sakes, and all it costs is your time and your dignity.
Yeah.
Please download the Assholes of the Year edition, and the winner, the top two vote getters for Assholes of the Year will now share the title. We are renaming the Douchebag Hotline, and will be officially known as, drumroll please, Rob Rose. The Rove Armstrong Hotline, in honor of Carl Rove and Lance Armstrong, co-headliners.
Yeah, that was Carl Rove was Corey's pick. I picked Lance Armstrong as my Assholes of the Year and as our Assholes of the Year.
It's 610-552-0746. If you want to have feedback with the show,
yeah,
and no one apparently wants to.
Well, we'll play it on the show.
We will play your calls on the show.
Or not, or whatever.
Or if they're awkwardly hilarious, we will play your calls as well. 610-552-0746 for the Rove Armstrong Hotline.
The Rove Armstrong Hotline.
Call that.
You got to remember to say that. Yeah. And, but I'll make a new placard with maybe their pictures on it.
There you go.
We'll put it up and everyone can see that. So that'll be good.
Two men who look nothing alike in any... The most out of shape and the most in shape possible.
Well, that just shows that people can excel at assholery.
Right.
Physical condition, don't let that be a barrier.
It doesn't matter.
One looks like a butterball ham.
Live strong and live fat.
Yeah, there you go. Wow, the live strong, live fat hotline.
All right. Well, good.
610-552-0746.
Okay.
So please call, leave your comments.
Yeah.
Tell us your assholes.
Sure, we want
your favorite television
show because was the thing that I know we got some commentary on Facebook about our favorite shows.
People comment on Facebook, but please come to the website and put a comment.
Yeah, can put a comment right on the main page so everyone can see it there. So there, that's
call
nice.
It. Call us
or call the number.
And the number and ask for me more because I don't get the butter out here much.
We've had requests for Rob.
I can't do this. I can't do two in a day.
Right. Rob's here. It's too much of a schedule for Rob.
Yeah.
So you can't do a doubleheader. You got to do
one. I
don't
know. That'd be tough.
And then we replace you,
Rob. If we go to Yellowknife, as we laid out a program.
Yeah.
Is that guy still listening to Yellowknife?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Cam. He actually, sent me a message and said that he doesn't think it's feasible for him to finance our trip to Yellowknife.
He doesn't
need
to.
What the fuck? No,
hold on.
Yeah, he said that.
Hey, Cam, you work in a diamond mine.
Yeah, I know.
Someone's got scratch up there.
And he said that. What if I talk to the diamond mine owner? And I couldn't tell if he was being facetious or literal about talking to the diamond mine owner.
Here's the deal.
As long as they're not conflict diamonds.
What you do? Go to the Inuit Council.
Yeah.
They'll put together all of their seal pelts.
Right.
And whale blubber.
But
they'll put all that whale blubber money together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you take a collection plate and you say, we want fine entertainment in Yellowknife, Canada, and we will bring a show. We'll bring not just Corey, not just Joel.
No.
Not just John Tenney and his Bigfoot hunting.
Yeah.
We'll bring the fog cutter. He'll do Rob will do his trick shot basketball show.
I didn't realize that.
Rob will do
what if we do
or air hockey demonstration.
Okay.
We'll bring some skanks.
What about awkwardly hilarious kitchen time?
We can bring awkwardly.
Can she come too?
We'll
do one of those.
She could do some kitchen demos.
Okay.
And we'll just
charter a bus. And
we'll
take
bring
that up
Cherry
there.
Brooklyn. We'll give out handies. We'll go over. You know what we'll do? We'll go over to O'Toole's.
Oh.
And we'll round up. We'll get a net and we'll round up skanks and we'll bring them up to Yellowknife because we know that you guys are getting tired of the same Eskimo pussy. And we know it's cold.
Then we'll all go to a Canucks game or something.
Yeah. Well,
we're in Yellowknife.
I don't know where Yellowknife
is. No, Yellowknife is 1,400 miles north of Edmonton.
Yeah.
Oh,
really?
So we could go to an Oilers game 2 days before.
but to make a somewhat serious note, I thought places that were really remote, like I know a guy from Kenya.
Yeah,
that's done stand up once in a blue moon. Okay, and the guy told me he was from Ghana. No, you're correct. I stand corrected.
Excuse me.
Please don't tell my story better than me. Thank you.
Uh-oh.
No, but this guy from Ghana goes, if you want to come to Ghana, if you apply, they'll actually get your airfare to come to Ghana because they have money. The government earmarks money for visitors, and they will help pay for your trip. They're not gonna pay for the whole trip, but they can help get your airfare to Ghana.
Oh, wow.
And I'm wondering if, like, Yellowknife, maybe Yellowknife has shit that they go to that's just not us. You know, it's just not stand-up. Because I guess somebody was saying that, if I was Cam on somebody else from Yellowknife, like I know, yeah. But he said that, like, there was a Yuck Yucks tour that went through there that stopped at a hotel or something. And did like a one nighter.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. I mean,
you've not had a one nighter like this one. We'll put together a show for you.
We'll bring the one nighter. All right.
Oh,
one night stand.
That's right.
Yellowknife. You can't bring girls there because that's a long ride home with them. I've driven girls home after that, and I just assume not drive them home from Yellowknife.
Who said we're bringing them back?
Oh, that's true. Yeah. we'll just drop them off with the ice road truckers and let them drive them around.
Hitch a ride with Rick
on
the ice road trucker.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Probably take forever to get there, too, unless there's a bathroom on the bus. Because they probably want to stop.
Oh yeah, that's
every
true.
10 minutes.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We're gonna need to take the ICP tour van.
You want that?
Let me ask you.
Yeah, sure.
Why, now, I don't want to get into a whole Juggalo related topic.
Well, it seems like we're going there.
But it seems like, I mean, Willie Nelson's got a van that runs on biodiesel.
Yes.
If anybody in show business had the means, the time, the inspiration,
right?
Why don't they have a bus that runs on pot?
Why don't or Faygo.
Faygo or pot, yeah.
Well, I don't...
What if you just poured a 2-liter of Rock and Rye in your engine?
I think I just rolled up. Well, look, I can't speak for ICP, but I think in general, even if things could run on pot, I think that's not the most fun thing you can do with it, so I don't see anybody really...
But what
well,
you, I
think
you'd
have doing the exhaust that with corn.
That's what you do.
Bus.
You run an exhaust pipe into the van, and then you're running
I don't know.
You put the driver in a gas mask so you don't get drive off the road. And everybody else... Come on. Rick Mahorn used to heat his house with a brick of marijuana that he would just put...
I don't know that to be true.
I stole that from my old roommate, Sean.
Oh, okay.
So,
right.
Sean, shout out to you. Why don't we have a bus that drives on ganja?
Can you shut up and let people Wikipedia Rick Mahorn? Because I want them to understand the jokes. It's a 1987 reference from Corey over here.
From Hampton Institute.
Oh, there he is.
Rick Mahorn.
Okay.
For your Detroit Pistons.
Thank you.
Thank you, yeah. Rob. All right. Yeah.
Why don't you get that job?
Yeah.
I think Rob should be doing the calls. What, it's Mason still doing that crap?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, well.
They need a white guy at the
there goes another
Come
one.
On, it's Auburn.
No. They used to have Ken Calvert, but yeah.
It's true.
All right.
I can see Rob doing that.
Sure, of course.
You could entertain up to 7,000 fans a night. The Pistons
wouldn't even be nervous.
Pistons have nobody at the show.
There's nobody there. Well, they had Star Wars night the other night, which was great because that's two things that used to be good, Star Wars and the Pistons.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hey.
And, you know.
No, they're bringing the Pistons are so bad. Well,
yeah.
The team's actually playing better lately.
Yeah. Oh,
they were terrible to start the season, but they're like, they're bringing in people because they know it's an off year. They don't have any big stars.
Yeah.
So they're bringing in, like, Gladys Knight and the Pips.
Okay.
That Irish guy, Mick Hammer.
Yes, Mick Hammer.
Yes. He's done it before, though. I know that. Yeah.
Wasn't it, like, Bobby Brown and, like, Naughty by Nature?
Oh, yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah, they bring in...
It's like every bad hip-hop act in the 90s is in there.
The stars of 1991 are all coming to the pile.
I see Chili and T-Boz are all over television trying to have a career.
They've got shows now because people care.
We'll get to that because there was a show... That's going to be on the 2013 worst list, and I'll preview it right now.
Really? But, well, there's lots of candidates for our various awards.
Because we did tape those shows a while ago,
a little bit.
And there's now been new candidates for assholery and bad TV shows. Things we left out. So I think we'll do a little recap of all the little scraps and odds and ends. Were there something you saw that was particularly bad?
As far as bad TV, did we miss that? Well, we missed the complete categories of daytime and late night when we did our best and
Absolutely.
Worst of TV. So there's a lot of that to go around.
And I had double barrel loaded. I was ready. I had my AR-15 Bushmaster, if I can be tasteless with my extra, my additional 50-round banana clip, ready to unload on a particular show.
Well, go ahead now. I don't care. You can.
Ladies and gentlemen, I forgot, and I did a disservice to you, the podcast listener, when I listed my worst shows of the television, and it couldn't just be 2012. It could be any year, but 2012 was the year that Live with Kelly debuted with Michael Strahan.
With Michael Strahan, because that's almost like that sounds like a pretend pick. Like, it sounds like a gag.
I know.
Pick. Yeah. Like, it sounds like an SNL sketch.
It is.
Here's a big dumb football player to sit here. And
they did a funny SNL sketch.
They actually did
it.
Oh, did they really? Okay.
Yeah, I can't believe this is a job.
They paid me to do this.
Yeah, I mean.
And it is. Michael Strahan sitting there.
Right. Like, how far down was Mike Tyson on the list? Like, where?
That would have been great. Now, that I'd watch every day.
Yeah, okay.
Because I watched Mike Tyson on The View, and it was fabulous.
Was he? Okay.
I thought Josh Groban made kind of sense. He was always pretty good
She had guys like Joel McHale and Josh Groban and, like, guys that are actually Martin Short.
Right.
Martin Short would have been great.
But you kind of have to get a guy who doesn't have another gig, though. That's sort of why
Martin Short,
retired football player, sort of works, though, because he does that NFL fucking Fox thing.
Useless TV
and,
show.
Yeah, which is horrible anyway.
You know what
that's only a couple hours
a week.
You
know what you ought to get to host a talk show?
Who's that?
A guy with talent.
Oh, no, but I get that, but that
was the last thing they did.
Yeah.
They did audition shows, and I love that. I love whenever they run a live audition
and
they bring on somebody. I love that crap. They ran it for like months where they were bringing in co-hosts to try out with Kelly Ripa. And they were like Michael Ian Black might have been in there or something.
I think you're right. Yep.
And they had funny people come on.
Yeah.
She rejected all of them.
Oh, sure.
And they picked the day. They picked a big, dumb goober. They picked this Michael Strahan.
Yes.
And I got a gap in my teeth. Yeah. Ooh, Lord, right, Kelly.
And a phony sack record.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Inflated that's numbers. Not.
Brett Favre just sat down.
Brett Favre laid down.
Yeah. Brett Favre laid down.
Fucking asshole.
But yeah, he's...
Kelly Ripa, a soap opera actress
who
was there to be the hottie that Regis,
the
comedy genius that is Regis, that I know you hate, Joel.
Sure. No, Regis... See, that's the thing. Regis was so bad.
But don't you look back now with nostalgia, and you look back and go, I wish Regis was here to tell me about when he went to Rayo's the other night with Joy.
Here's the thing about Regis. Regis is sort of a dinosaur from another era that doesn't exist. And now actually like former,
don't mind me opening a package.
Former jock is almost that new, because there really isn't, you know, who is in that circle of old entertainers now that we would even use?
Well, it's very
Martin
on a
Short.
Show like that. Yeah, Martin Short, like old SNL guys or old
Dana Carvey.
Sure, but
Regis comes from, that's what I kind of liked with Larry King and with Regis.
Yeah.
I'm a kind of
radio guy. Old
I'm
radio
a nerd
guys.
That goes, but they'll sit there and talk about, you know, oh, that Connie Stevens, what a dish. You know, like they'll talk about old ass stuff.
Sure.
And they'll be like, you know, Jerry Vale, he had a voice that was incredible. You know, I love that old showbiz stuff, and Regis was like the last link to that.
Yeah.
And he'd sit there and talk about how, you know, he and Rickles went out to the Stork Club and had dinner the other night. That's all gone. Now it's Strahan. Well, are we going to do a cooking segment now?
That's a little.
I've seen where they they dress him up in outfits to do sketches.
You know what he is? He's a big black Ken doll for them. I almost feel like I'm watching Japanese television.
No, I get what you're saying.
He's like Bob Sapp or something.
Yeah,
look at the big black man. They have oversized Negro.
Yeah,
the next to Kenny.
But like, see, the thing
it's really this like.
It just proves that you don't have to have any talent to do that. And the show will be every bit of success. Like when Kathy Lee left the show, everyone was like, well, how can the show go on? Who could replace her? And the answer is anyone can replace her. It's not a, you know.
No, but my point was that Regis had the talent. As much as you don't like Regis, Regis was more interesting as a broadcaster than Kelly Ripa.
In its heyday, the show was probably better than it is now. But the standards have fallen, and sort of the average has been taken down enough to where they still can sit on the top of the heap, even not being as good as the show was in Regis' heyday.
Your point that anything can fill that hole?
Yeah.
I disagree, because Tony Danza would still have a morning show.
No.
Right? Daytime talk shows, you do have to have a certain level. Okay, now...
Ellen, and I think that Ellen's
top. Well, Ellen is awful. Yeah, Ellen is...
I think she's probably gets better numbers than...
I think she gets good numbers, Kathy, but I when I talk about lowering the average, I feel like Ellen, that show as it is now, wasn't any different than Tony Danza or any of these other shows. But I feel like they've... the bar is low. I mean, the audience is...
You and I hate it. I get cringes of the go up my spine.
Yeah.
But when I watch the Ellen show, I see a quality product. It's put together well.
Okay.
It's not for me. It's for my mom.
Exactly. Yep.
And that's why I hate everything about Ellen and her stupid dancing. And they did that on SNL, and that was a good sketch, too.
Right.
You know, I hate
Wendy Williams dances as well.
Wendy Williams
just so everybody.
Wendy Williams is awful. So that's like a drag queen that got on TV. I don't know.
You're completely right.
I mean, that's horrible. But right. Ellen, I at least look at it and I go, when she has a celebrity guest on, she can like deal with them.
Yeah,
it's not like the Regis and Kelly show where they go, you know, Matthew McConaughey's on here. Can we please? Can we get a mason jar and catch his farts? Can we please?
This yeah. is,
they all kiss like they're like Mark Dacascos, the guy who's you're the chairman on Iron Chef. Oh my God, I've never seen a bigger celebrity. Like Ellen, at least like it feels like she knows what she's doing. She's in
really?
The moment.
I'm not giving her that much credit.
Believe me, I don't like the show. I don't like Ellen.
I don't like her. That's my problem. Is I feel like she's a phony.
It's a big calculated.
I feel like
shtick.
It's a yeah. bunch of. It's like you know. Old ladies watching a lesbian dance around and not realizing, you know. Right. You know, like when we were kids, all right, here's the thing. When we were kids, we had, remember, you guys are old enough, we had tomboys. They yeah. were lesbians, but they had their own fucking name. That's what they were. Ellen is like sort of this harmless woman who isn't a threat to these old ladies who let their looks go. You know, if you're an unattractive old broad, you're going to watch Ellen because she's the ugliest thing on television. You're not going to feel threatened by her.
Yeah. Well,
and I feel like she's this one, you know, her comedy only appeals to those people and not to anyone else. I don't feel that she's funny in any way, shape, or form. I feel like she's talentless in the arena of making me laugh.
Well,
she can't do it. She's not up for the job. And sure, Kelly Ripa is awful and talentless too, but I feel like that she's not trying to be a comedian.
She is trying to be a comedian.
Is she trying to be a comedian? Well,
she thinks she's funny. And,
but Ellen always has been a comedian. Kelly Ripa's never.
Okay. Well,
again,
okay.
Ellen is not for me. It's not my product.
Like I'm fighting over Ellen with you
right.
two guys.
Oh, I don't mean that. You know, I'm just
hold
saying.
Hold on.
Look.
I'm never going to
own. Why can't we just bring Oprah back and just settle it all right?
Oh, God.
I'm never going to own a Lincoln, okay?
Okay.
But I get who the Lincoln is for.
All right.
I get the appeal of the Lincoln,
yeah.
right? It's for guys who voted for
And you
for
see that it's well put together.
Yeah. That's what I feel with Ellen. With Ripa, I see a desperate fucking bimbo who thinks she's hilarious. And that's
yeah.
why I hate her the most. Because I've decided, I realize about myself more than just about anything on earth.
Right.
More than cheats, more than thieves, more than that kid who stabbed a bunch of people in China with a knife. I hate people who think they're funny who aren't funny.
Okay.
That is maybe to me the greatest villain of anything on earth. Kim Jong-un thinks he's funny.
Well,
and when people aren't funny and think they're funny, it dements their entire psyche. And Kelly Ripa thinks she's fucking hysterical. She sits there.
Yeah.
She's this little, trim little fucking. She works out. She probably does 500 push-ups a morning. She's insane. She's just like on the. First of all, skinny people aren't funny. We don't. That's rule number fucking one, okay. right? Huh? When you get skinny, the funny goes right.
Who's defending Kelly Ripa here? I don't get why.
Nobody is. I just hate her so much that she's worse than Ellen. Then she brings on this no talent big fucking goon with the gap in his teeth, shooting watermelon seeds out, playing fucking. Well, look at guy. Hi, everybody. He's doing a fucking Stephen Fetchett act.
It does sort
like,
of
look
like,
at me, everybody. I'm a Michael Graham.
If you're far enough from the TV, it does look a little like King Kong.
It does.
It does look a little. It is a little. It is.
Look.
It is a little.
Send your calls to 610-552-0746.
All right. Now I'm the asshole. All right.
So I left that show off. I hate that show.
Kelly,
it took,
Michael.
It was bad
live.
To begin with, and it got worse. They ran through 100 comedians on that show.
Yeah.
They brought in one comic after the other. You know, Hal Sparks, all these guys came in.
Yeah.
And they went, screw that. Let's go with a linebacker.
Yeah. Bad news.
All right. So Corey left off that show.
All right.
And,
thank you. Was there anything you had to
I don't even know. No? I mean, I'm trying to think. Here's our list, but these were my. But I think I got mine in. Yeah. I think. I mean, did I rail enough against. You know, finding Bigfoot. Because I'll tell everyone how that ends, by the way. If you want me to spoil it, and I don't care if you're talking about season 37 of that, I think the ending is going to be the same every time.
You mean they haven't found Bigfoot?
Yeah, I get the feeling that finding Bigfoot is a false claim.
It's a big wild goose chase.
Let
me ask you this. Have you ever seen a squirrel carcass in the wild outside of a freeway?
Outside of a freeway? You mean like just a natural death?
The only time you ever see squirrels is they get run over in a freeway.
That's true, okay.
Of course, you got to go out in the woods and look for the dead squirrels. So they're like, why don't you find a Bigfoot? Because you got to be in the woods looking for it.
Yeah. No, you're completely correct.
But no, I'm with you. That show's terrible.
Well, why do people... Here's something just on the... And I would maybe this is a question for John Tate next time. Why do conspiracy guys and wackos believe that men from other planets have visited Earth, and yet they deny the fact that our own men went to the moon? Why is that? Why do those guys sort of hang out together? They'll believe that imaginary, life forms traveled millions of miles in ships, but our guys 40 years ago sitting on a rocket going to the nearest rock to the Earth, that was impossible.
Of all the dumb conspiracy theories, I think I hate that one the most.
The fake moon landing.
I think I hate the conspiracy. Fake moon landing stuff the most because it's been authoritatively debunked, like routinely.
Yeah.
Repeatedly. Also, thousands of people stood around Cape Canaveral and watched the rocket launch.
Exactly.
The extent to which, okay, if you don't believe in the Kennedy assassination, that's fine. But what that really ultimately, the cost of the Kennedy assassination was buying off certain people to be quiet and a bullet. That was the, right?
Okay. So you're saying.
I'm saying it's a low cost operation from that extent.
Yeah.
On the moon landing, you had to build a fucking rocket and send it up in space and put on a show.
Right.
Like, there's no incentive to do it. There's no reason to do it.
Well, it's about the Soviets and the Cold War, Corey. Right. Uh-huh. That's why we would do it.
You know the Soviets, by the way, couldn't make fucking toilet paper? We were afraid of them for 50 years.
We were afraid of them,
and they couldn't figure out how to make a goddamn Cheerio. Yeah. They were the worst. The Soviets were terrible.
Yeah.
They were incompetent boobs.
So I'm really any alien show.
I know, but they know Sistema, so they were all going to fucking kickbox us to death.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I watched a show the other day about Fort Knox.
Yeah.
And that Fort Knox was fake.
Mm.
This was on TV. That it was
we didn't have a gold reserve there?
It was like our way of showing how much money we had, though we went off the gold standard. We sold our gold to, like, Austria at some point, and they wanted to make sure that it was really in there. So, of course, in the 70s, America decided, we'll show off Fort Knox. So they went and they showed, like, one of the gold rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And that just encouraged people to, like, count the gold bars and say how fake it was. Like, it was, like, not proof. It actually fueled the conspiracy people even more because they were like, well, that's not what it would be like. Oh, well, if that's one room, you must have 50,000 rooms that size. And Fort Knox from the outside is only this big. So there's no possible way that all the gold that you're saying could be in there. And it was just this crazy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I went like, okay, now I'm out.
Because
that was kind of new to me. No, that was like the History Channel or something. You know,
well, that was a big thing in the 60s. We're going to rob Fort Knox.
Yeah.
That was a big, you know, people would use it as a joke or they'd go.
It was Goldfinger.
Goldfinger tried to rob it, and it was like a popular theme. Then you never heard about it after that.
Yeah.
But you know, my dad was actually stationed at Fort Knox.
Sure. So was my dad. My dad was there as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the 70s. My dad was in the late 60s, early 70s.
Oh, I didn't know your dad was
My dad was at Fort Knox.
I knew he was in the service.
Yeah, they let that eye tie into the service.
I didn't know your dad was in You never told me your dad was in the service.
Well, you never asked.
But
let's talk about that for the rest of the show.
Questions.
My dad in the service.
But that's where my dad spent a few months before he went to Nam.
Right.
Was at Fort Knox.
Yeah.
So I could ask him if that was bullshit, but you know.
Vietnam?
Yeah, but you know, okay, Fort Knox.
I didn't
the Fort Knox.
Vietnam.
Oh. The Fort Knox is like not, according to the show, is not actually connected. The Army base is just there.
It's not.
They're separate institutions.
Gold storehouse, yeah.
But actually, the reason that Fort Knox, the gold reserve, is there is because, you know, again, according to the show, this goes back to like, I don't know, was it the French, when the French invaded America or something? They had to move the gold to, they moved all of this America's wealth to Kentucky. Because they couldn't get there because it was in the woods, and I don't know. It's all. We did watch this dumb show. Because
anyway. You couldn't get the boats in
you
there?
You couldn't go. Like they were afraid that the British were going to come and steal all their gold, and that all ended up in Kentucky. And so.
Logic would dictate that a safe place to put a gold reserve is on a military base.
Sure. No. Yeah. You're right now. Yeah. But they're saying. But
that'd be a good one. That'd be a good one.
Before Fort Knox, there were caves.
Put it where all the guns,
the gold,
the guns and shit are.
That's like the crown jewels in London, or in the
in the tower.
Yeah, and they got all the beef eaters in there, and they got guns, and they can.
All right. I don't know. For shows,
they have beef eaters and beef drink, and they
Gilbies.
Yeah, Gilbies,
Seagrams,
anyway, little Bombay Sapphire.
Right.
I guess I haven't. I don't have much more.
I thought you told me you had something extra.
I can't remember. Oh. It was six fucking weeks ago.
This is good free radio right here.
Wow. Wow.
All right, let's go into the kitchen and prepare a meal. Corey, what are we making today? All right, let's. Well, why don't we talk about movies? Well, we're going to do our good and bad movies. Well,
yeah, Rob, do you have any?
Oh yeah, sure. Go ahead, Rob. That, I mean, that annoy we should you? Let Rob in.
Oh, that annoy me or
what are some,
I can't say good.
Best
assholes of the year, worst shows, yeah, best shows.
Any of your suggestions?
We just finished the first season of American Horror Story.
Yeah, and what'd you think of that?
I fucking loved it.
You like
did
that?
You? Because yeah. I watched that old first season and I hated the way it ended. And then when I started watching season two, I gave up.
Because, oh really?
Because I thought it was. I don't know. I thought that the first season didn't really deliver on its premise.
Hmm.
That was my thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I really enjoyed
okay.
it.
Okay. Yeah. No, I thought it was well done, and yet, but yet it was unsatisfying.
Yeah, okay.
So I gave up on season two. But go ahead. This again, this is your list.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You say
yeah.
something else, and I'll make fun of it. No, I won't. Go ahead.
Let's see. What sucks? What do I do not like? I don't watch shit I don't like.
Yeah,
with
that's
my
part
DVR,
of it, too.
You know, I DVR stuff I like.
You don't have to watch stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, right? I hate watch stuff, and I realize that about myself.
It's not yeah. worth doing, really. In a sense. I mean, there's a curiosity that when, you know, a Dance Moms comes on or something, you put it on just because you go, okay, I'll watch this and at least see what this mm-hmm. is about.
Well, you're comedians. You guys got
it. Yeah, right, and yeah, you want to know. I mean, as comics, you do. There is a thing where you want to know what people are doing so you can make fun of it, or you want to be aware of popular culture. Or people would say, you know, there are people who would, you know, go, like even comedians, Rob would bring up American Horror Story and no one would even know what the fuck they were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not somebody that's with it either. That's not somebody you want to... You want somebody that's an authority on things.
Well, your wife apparently has good taste because you're not subjected to bad stuff due to her.
No, she doesn't. Yeah, and you know, there's stuff that's on the DVR that's for her. Like, she watches Parenthood. That's like a thing where I don't, like, there's a portion of the DVR like that, like New Girl.
Uh-huh.
Like, I gave New Girl one episode, and I was like, this is one of your shows. The other one was The Mindy Project.
That was on our worst. Yeah,
I watched, like, two or three episodes, and I was like, all right, this is one of your shows.
Yeah, Mindy Project is brutal.
Yeah, The Mindy Project was like, there's no me hoping this is good that's going to make it better.
All right.
You know, like, I want this to be good, and yet it's not.
Anytime I leave the house for an extended period of time and I come back home, she's watching Project Runway.
Okay.
Or like, you know, some property show where they're like, I don't like this countertop. I want granite. This is not granite. This is faux granite. That's what Amy watches all the time. And it's making you know, she wants to move.
You better get some granite, fucker.
Right. But it's like, and I'm like, those shows, I can take a little of the real estate.
Sure.
Yeah. I can't take Project Runway.
No, that's... No.
Project Runway triggers everything inside me that is male into a full alarm. It just sends off every, woo. I just like freak out into like, I shouldn't be watching this. This is making me uncomfortable.
But do you feel like any competition show you can't get into if you don't, like, whatever the subject is you're not into?
Right.
Like, if it's guys... But I think sometimes if they're good, you can still get into it. Like, I've never built a motorcycle, but I've watched those guys, and I that's kind of fun.
Well...
But, so, I don't know. I mean,
I am not a big motorcycle guy, but it doesn't offend me because I'm a man.
Right. Oh,
so I can go...
So...
No, there's just something...
Dresses and fashion.
As I've said before, Project Runway is hyperdimensional mega gay.
You're right.
It goes beyond regular gay into a special... Like... You know what I mean? It's not like the gay friends that we have that we talk to and go, hey, whatever. Like, that's like, I'm in the gay universe. That's like hanging out in
so
a gay
nightclub. So it is more the subject matter than the form of the show or the structure
of it. Yeah, it's the same as any other competition show, but it's just that they're fucking having 45-minute conversations.
Well, that show takes place.
About ruching on a dress.
Yeah.
And that, I don't know, I don't care. It just, everything in my brain just goes, and just rattles in my head. When
that show is
it.
So gay, it takes place in Clay Aiken's butthole.
That's exactly.
That's where they film the show. That's where.
Well, speaking of Clay Aiken, you know what? And I'm going to say this now. When we did the worst of TV, I didn't even bother mentioning it. And maybe it even didn't air in calendar year 2012, although it probably did. But Celebrity Apprentice. And I part of it is that memories of that were rekindled by reading Penn Jillette's most recent book where he talks all about Celebrity Apprentice. And I just go, yeah, this is a dumb show. Penn doesn't even like the show.
And he's doing it again.
And Penn like is putting down Trump and everyone that was on it. And I just go, yeah, what a waste of time that was. And I didn't even watch it on a regular basis. I didn't even watch it like you do and watch everyone. My girlfriend was watching everyone, so I in turn saw about half of them.
The problem I have with most reality shows, most competition reality shows, is that they dwindle down the contestants.
Yeah.
And so inevitably the people that you either like or hate go away. and you're left with generally the more boring people end up surviving till the end of it in most cases, not always, but
right.
So on Celebrity Apprentice, like Adam Carolla, who was entertaining,
yeah,
went out like the third or fourth episode.
Sure.
Because he was too yeah. smart to put up with that crap from Trump.
Yeah.
And was like, enough of this. And
but I feel that that doesn't even, that's sort of fake in the sense. I mean, Penn Jillette says it's the realest reality show because they don't edit things to be like the way the stuff is or the way it comes out. But I just go, the stuff that they're doing is so dumb and there are no rules and it's completely arbitrary.
Adam said they.
And it's so like Trump just gets rid of whoever, you know.
Adam said they specifically edited exactly to make him look like an idiot.
Well, Penn disagrees. Penn says complete
yeah.
opposite.
Yeah.
And Penn is under the employ of Adam Carolla.
Right.
In fact, that's how he got his radio show.
Because he's on Adam's
network.
He
was on there with
yeah.
Adam. Yeah. Adam offered it to him while they were on there. But he says there is no bad edit, that whatever happens is pretty much what's on the show. So,
well, I'm going to be hard-pressed to watch it again this year just because Trump is such a dick.
Yeah, well, Trump, yeah.
He really distinguished himself as an
yeah,
idiot this
there
year.
There you go.
So
assholes.
I already don't like the part of the show that he's on.
Right.
The part
right.
of the Apprentice I like is when they go and do a radio spot or they go and do an ad campaign and they design it. That's entertaining to
but
me.
But would it be better if the show had, instead of like this arbitrary thing that he does, but an actual physical goal or some sort of like, you know, like in Survivor, they have a thing where, you know, the guy who starts the fire gets to stay and the mm-hmm. other guys. But would you prefer it to be that way rather than him just sitting around pontificating and yelling at people?
Yeah, well, he does 45 minutes of Trump and yeah. it's like a 2-hour right. show and sometimes right. a 3-hour show.
Yeah.
Because NBC,
when they make that 3 hours, it's just like
that's well, yeah, they've made
you
it,
gotta be fucking
they've
kidding.
They made it 3 hours before. Because
hey, NBC
they had
needs some fucking shows. I mean, maybe that's not going to be the case anymore, but
unbelievable. And it and then so you get a good hour of Trump going, I don't know. In business, you got Lou Ferrigno. I don't know if
yeah,
you gonna take this from Cyndi Lauper. I don't believe that you're gonna. Don't let the Herrera tell you that I didn't do my work. And
right.
just, it was like they all yelled at Lou Ferrigno for
right.
like 6 weeks.
Yelling at a deaf guy.
And it was
hour.
Terrible.
Okay.
That part is awful and unwatchable. But I do like the part where they're like, they'll pick a brand and they'll go,
yeah.
you know, Subway wants you to design a different
right,
sandwich.
Yeah.
That's interesting to me. And I would watch a show that was that. But I got to have it stuck upside Trump's bloated colon.
Yeah.
So I got to have a bunch of him and his turd son. Who, you know, is a copy of him standing around going, oh.
All right. So that, I know that's kind of, so that sort of, I guess I should have probably included that because.
Mark this
that's
down.
A show that's
this will make
good.
Next year's list.
Next year's list. Is...
And I think there was an edition last year that should have made the list, and I forgot about it till this year. You want to talk about a bad celebrity driven competition show?
Quote unquote.
Rachel and Guy's Celebrity Cook-Off.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
It's so awful.
Right, okay.
Last year it had Coolio and Lou Diamond Phillips.
Yeah.
were the two. They were the big names.
Well, you know the celebrity diving show is coming on.
Oh,
did you
that
know
looked,
that? That
yeah,
I mean,
but
and like literally, I honestly don't know if I knew who one of the celebrities. They're literally
the only one I noticed
so
was Terrell
weird.
Owens.
Yeah, they're so like
the other ones. I could not.
I'm finding more that these celebrity shows are like people from other shows.
I guess.
Like if you do The Bachelor, you now qualify to be on like Dancing with the Stars.
Right, right.
So it's almost like you step a toe in this world.
Yeah.
Of reality, and then you can do every other reality show.
One of the best,
and you're
things,
a star from just doing that, rather than you know.
One of the best things I ever heard in that realm was, it was like VH1 or something like that, and they were having it was like a couple years ago, they were having an award show, and it was like they were naming off all these stars that were going to be on it,
yeah,
and then they go and a parade of 100 reality stars, and I'm like, perfect, because that's like, don't name them off like individually, because
yeah,
they're
not yeah.
a star, you know, but they're like yeah. a parade of, I'm like, that's fine. It's
wait,
like, oh, there's the guy from, there's Evan from, you know.
Are you telling me that Valerie from Celebrity, from Road Rules Real World Challenge Season 6, The Inferno, is not a real star? Is that
yeah,
what you're,
no.
But it really is. People are celebrities. It's almost like back in the day, like if you were like a big winner on like Tic-Tac-Doe or something, you would be A celebrity,
yeah,
or is it just that, like, these shows?
Jennings,
well,
yeah,
I mean,
if you watch a match game,
yeah,
there's people on there that we're not familiar with.
Sure.
Like, we'll sit there, you know, outside of being on Match Game, we're not familiar with the work of Fannie Flagg anymore.
Right, but they were they were playwrights and stuff. Wasn't that what Fannie Flagg did?
Yeah.
And, she did Fried Green Tomatoes.
But it was all Avery Schreiber and, like, all these people that we're not familiar with. But they were on, they did something else on
television.
Well,
they were on talk shows, and they were sort of,
right.
You know, they were like,
well, you had people that were like Orson Bean was right. like an actor, but you right. mostly was known as being,
well, wasn't Kitty Kelly a gossip columnist?
Right.
Yes. Yeah,
like
so.
Orson Bean was mostly known for going on The Tonight Show and
right.
being kind of drunk.
Yeah.
Like that was like, you could do that, but it's now taken to an absurd level.
Right.
Where like, but you used to be a TV, you'd be a talk show panel guy. And you'd show up, and that was just what you did. Now, you're right, it's fucking...
And those guys are now, the modern equivalent would be like the guys from like Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, or
right,
like
right.
Uh-huh. Carson Kressley or somebody is
yeah,
the new
Carson Kressley.
Version
well,
of...
Carson, I'll give him this. He's a gay celebrity. So
was it Charles Nelson Reilly and Paul Lynde?
Well,
in these
right,
guys?
Exactly.
Okay.
Because that's a smaller universe,
right.
so you can be a bigger star.
Oh.
In a gay, you know what I mean?
Really?
As a gay celebrity,
wow.
you're now a bigger star to the gays.
We should be gay podcasters. Be bigger show.
We pretty much already are.
Hey.
And, you know what I'm saying? The gay pond
yeah.
is smaller.
Well, it
so,
makes. I mean, it makes sense for like Jeff Probst to be like
uh-huh.
on a talk show, but like Heidi Montag or whatever. I
yeah,
don't,
it's
you know.
It's a weird thing now that's happened.
Again, people without talent shouldn't be. Okay, here's your lineup on Rachel and Guy Celebrity Cook. But
okay.
by the way, Rachel and Guy can't cook themselves. They're the two worst.
Yeah.
Rachel Ray and Guy Fieri.
I think Rachel Ray, I mean, I think they can cook, but they're not chefs in the
no,
sense that
they're like, we took some pepper jack cheese and we injected it in a donut.
Yeah.
Like that's like Guy, you know, that's yeah. his whole thing. Then
yeah.
we deep fried that
well,
shit
he
in
always,
bacon grease.
He just always knows the terms when he's mm-hmm. at the place. He's like, oh, you make a roux?
Yeah.
You make
uh-huh.
a roux?
He puts the show on, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. But he's like, oh, that's money.
No.
Oh, you got an invitation to Flavortown.
Well, you could argue,
oh,
yeah. argue he's a critic.
Kind of, but whatever.
Okay, I mean,
Rachel
you know.
Ray is the fucking worst with the, you know, oh, it's macaroni. With,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, sure.
She's terrible. All right, here's your stars on
stars.
This year. Your star power included Joey Fatone on last season.
Okay.
But your stars this year, Chili from TLC.
From TLC.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought he meant that other Chili, but there's no way he's on there.
No, not that
All
Chili.
Right, let's keep going. It's an
Kathy Najimy.
Okay.
Heinz Ward, who went right from Dancing with the Stars to this.
Okay.
Carney Wilson.
Again, she was on, yeah.
Yeah. Johnny huh. Weir.
Who's
he
that?
He was an Olympic skier?
Ice skater. Yes.
Ice skater.
Yes.
Ice skater. Ice skater.
Oh, well, he's gay. So
hyper-dimensional mega
gay. Oh, no, you're right. Johnny Weir. Okay, I know
yeah,
who
he's
that is.
The flamingest
no,
of
okay,
all
absolutely,
ice skaters.
Yes.
And then they got...
Which
then,
is funny because they're all gay, but he was an out gay guy.
He was turbo gay.
Right, because you find out later about these ice skaters.
Right.
That they're homos, but
Elvis,
at the time...
Apparently Elvis Stoico was the only straight ice skater
right.
male.
But Brian Boitano was skating around, and he was America's hunk for a while.
Gay
and
it
was
the day
like, exactly. back in the day. Okay, anyone else on that?
And then here's where it gets really ridiculous.
Okay.
That's, okay. So
those are the A-listers?
Yeah, Kathy Najimy is your A-lister.
Well, she's, right? yeah, she's got an acting resume, at least.
But oh, Gilbert Gottfried.
okay.
Was he on the show?
Yeah.
That would have been funny.
Gilbert couldn't cook at all.
Really?
That would have been cool.
Well, Gilbert was on the show.
You know
show.
Why he can't cook? Because it costs money.
He can't. I'm trying to raise money for my charity.
That's yeah. pretty good.
What's a frying pan? are we cooking? I don't know.
And so I turned on because Gilbert was on it. And I'm like,
yeah.
okay, Gilbert's always
funny. Gilbert's funny. Yeah.
Gilbert goes on and he didn't know what to fucking do.
Yeah.
And so Rachel had him make like... toasted peanut butter and jelly with cinnamon on it.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he made, and he fucked that up.
Well.
And then they got, this is great, as you said, this guy, Dean McDermott. Do you know who Dean McDermott
no
is?
No idea.
No.
He's Spelling's daughter's husband.
Oh, okay, so he's on
Tori Spelling's
Tori
husband.
Tori and Dean. I've
How
heard
is that
of that
a
show.
Fucking celebrity?
Well,
no.
There's something called the E! Channel that we don't watch. And,
And then there's some other chick that billed herself as a socialite.
Oh,
okay. How are you a fucking celebrity?
You got to look up. Okay, then here's your homework. Look up the diving show. It might be called Celebrities in Peril or Celebrities in Danger. It's not called Celebrity Diving.
I can tell you right off the bat, I know Antonio Sabato Jr. is on.
Oh, okay. Well, look that
up. That's one.
That is a
Terrell Owens is one.
Because I would say that the Celebrity Cook-Off show has a better lineup than the diving show. Although, then again, who would want to really do the diving? That sounds like an awful gig.
Right.
Najimy. Who else?
Yeah, Kathy Najimy.
Mo Gaffney?
She ain't diving.
Mo Gaffney.
Look up... look up Jerry Jewell on Celebrity Diving. Look up who's on the Celebrity Diving. No, seriously, look
Judy
it up.
Gold.
Look it up right now. Look it up right now.
I'm on it.
She was on. By the way, she was on like the.
Oh wait, there's a British version.
Judy Gold was on the Cake Boss's Bake Off show.
Was she really
with Carol Leifer the other day? Just because when I see Carol Leifer, I stop, and then her and Judy Gold were on together.
Oh my God!
And I go ooh. Like, ooh, really?
I know. When is Yakov going to be on one of these?
I don't
shows?
Know.
What are we going to see?
Go ahead. And,
in Russia, they cook you.
They can't make toilet paper.
Who is on the diving show? Did you figure it out?
Well, there was a British diving
show. Give me the American one. I don't think it's on yet. Okay, I think it's coming on.
I think it's coming on like tonight or tomorrow.
Premiere date for Celebrity Diving Special.
Okay. Give us the lineup.
Your stars include JWoww.
Okay, from Jersey
Who's
Shore.
That? Oh.
Mm-hmm.
All
right.
Kyle Richards.
No idea who that
Nobody.
Is.
Nobody knows.
Antonio Sabato Jr.
Okay, he was like a soap opera
underwear
guy.
Model.
Bethany Hamilton.
Nobody.
That's
Nobody.
The one-armed surfer girl who got her arm.
Oh, okay. All
got
right.
her arm bitten off by a
I
shark.
Think she's a ringer, right?
She's
going
to do a half gainer.
Bound it in, Rob. Bound it in.
All right. Okay.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, Alexandra Paul, who was the skinny broad on Baywatch.
Okay.
Yeah, the one without tits. You're like, hey, we got a show. Hold on. We have a show. She's the number
she
one.
She was the brainy one.
Show.
She
right.
was the one
right.
without tits.
Why? It's a show that's literally about tits.
Okay.
That was the premise of Baywatch.
Right.
It was that.
It's about tits.
It was that. It was
that boob watch. That's what they called it.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that was a nickname for it.
It was that a dozen pairs of tits right. patrolled a beach.
You know the best.
And they got the one without the tits.
The best nickname I ever heard, and he coined it himself, was that show which should be called Baywatch.
Yeah.
Because he banged everybody on it.
Oh,
that
God.
Was, okay.
Kim Richards. Who is the former child actress who starred in Escape to Witch Mountain?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God.
I said this is worst lineup.
Sister.
I'm standing by
this
that.
This is awful.
I'm standing by that this is the worst
lineup.
I
know. I'm sitting there going, Kathy Najimy was in Sister Act. I mean, at least she's got a
cover. Keep going. This is the worst
sister
lineup.
Sister of Kyle Richards and cast member of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Okay.
What? Oh, and then Kyle Richards, former child actress, sister of Kim Richards. So they have sisters on.
Okay.
Who between them have... almost as many credits as you and I.
Right.
I have nearly as many television credits.
Right, yes, sure.
Oh, and then David Chokichi. They got another Baywatch.
Another Baywatch guy.
They got the himbo from Baywatch.
Okay. Oh, God.
He has bigger tits than Alexandra Paul.
At this point.
That David Chokichi. He did back then.
Oh, he did back then. Okay.
Terrell Owens because
Terrell
he needs
Owens.
A paycheck.
Yeah.
Antonio Sabato Jr.
He doesn't have to swim. He just falls into the water.
I think that's it.
Terrell.
That's awful.
No, I told you that. That is probably a worse lineup.
Well, the Dancing with the Stars had the least celebrities I've ever seen on it this year.
Yeah, Dancing with the Stars has gotten progressively worse. So,
now,
yeah, okay.
Rob always ridicules me for my knowledge of Celebrity Mole Hawaii.
Which is hilarious.
That was a bad lineup, but the Mole was sort of a fun show on its own, just the premise of it. All right, well, have we covered this topic enough? Because I want to talk about what are you doing over there? You okay? Well, that's God forbid.
Yeah. All right.
Corey Hall unplugged.
Well, look, I got to look up Antonio Sabato Jr.'s credit.
Oh, okay.
Right. What do you want to talk about now, Joel?
Well, no, you recommended a movie. Now, we're going to do our best and worst movies next time probably on the show or in the future, okay? But you recommended a movie that I felt didn't really fit on either list, but I wanted to discuss anyway.
Okay, it was in the
that
middle.
I watched. Here's the thing. I would recommend it to you, even though you recommended it to me, like I would recommend it to you.
Mm-hmm.
I may even recommend it to like a Rob, probably not even Rob, but I would recommend it maybe to a guy who's doing stand-up, but Sleepwalk With Me is a movie that I wouldn't recommend to any real civilian in the world. I saw this movie just the other night. It's on Netflix now. If you have that,
but
you can
I recommended it
up.
To
I do
you
want to see that.
Right.
As a comedian.
You said that they get the road stuff right in this movie,
yes.
which they largely do.
Yeah,
and I thought that was interesting, but I thought as a movie, I was really bored.
Except for the part where Jesse Klein wants to bang you.
Yeah, that was that was your favorite part of the show.
No, and he goes, maybe not.
Well, that's, you know, that was the problem with the movie. This is a guy who, Mike Birbiglia is this comedian, and it's really the story. And listen, I can relate to a lot of this. It's a guy who, you know, has a girlfriend who wants to marry him, but he really wants to be this comedy star. So he ends up going on the road. It takes a toll on their relationship, blah, 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 okay? I can relate to all of that shit, all of it, from the fucking beginning to the end. But Birbiglia is such a mush, and he's such a guy who, like, has no backbone, that things just sort of happen to him in this movie. That he sort of gets to go on the road by default, almost. He sort of falls into that. That, like, they make it this premise that he's not good with girls, but he gets this gorgeous girlfriend who's played by Lauren Ambrose in the movie. But he doesn't even, they don't even show him putting out effort to get that. Nor do they really do any scenes where he's bad with girls. He's just sort of a guy who happens to get, and the whole thing just doesn't work. He's not, there's no engine driving the action in this movie. It's just one dumb thing after another happening to him. And it wasn't, I couldn't root for him. I felt bad for the girl. And I just kind of went like, yeah, I get where you want to be comedy. I can relate to that. You can relate to that. Anybody who's tried stand-up can relate to what he's going through. Yeah. But boy, oh boy, this movie just didn't work.
I agree with you in that. I recommended it to you for the comedy.
Exactly. And it was fine on
and
that.
And I thought of any movie ever made about stand-up, it was the most accurate in terms in terms of what it's really like to go on the road and all that kind of stuff. I thought, because a lot of times they won't, you know, like everybody talks about on Punchline, there's a dressing room.
Right.
You know,
they're all going into their locker
there's
to
a
get
locker
there. Yeah, yeah,
at the comedy
right,
club.
Yeah.
And like that right. doesn't happen. You know, but you're right in that Birbiglia is a mush. I'm not a huge fan of his stand up.
See, I think I've seen him like years ago, like before he was ever, and I thought he was funny. And I've seen him on talk shows, and he's funny, and I've seen him, he was on an episode of Girls, and he was funny on that. This, maybe he shouldn't be the star of the movie.
Well, I think...
Maybe he's good as a bit player. Because, see, the guy, like that Alex Karpovsky guy, speaking of Girls, who's in this, seems like the guy, that's the movie that should have been made for him. Like, his character in that was more the guy that sort of has a drive and a passion for comedy, rather than some schlub.
You know, we know guys though that you don't look at them and you think, oh gee, that guy's going to be a big star.
Yeah,
but they have persistence, and I think the movie was all about the only thing he was persistent at all was comedy. You're right.
Yeah.
The girlfriend he didn't care about. Like, it was about how he was stupid and he should have been with her and he should have put energy into that, and instead he kind of wanted this comedy career. Now you're right. He seems Mike Birbiglia is a mush. But
I'm referring more to his character in the film. I don't know about him personally.
That's
his
personality, though.
Okay, but that's his persona. His persona. Yeah. Okay.
Wasn't that film co-written by somebody like important?
The Ira Glass.
Yeah.
And, yeah. They
NPR.
They
so it's
produced
very,
it. Yeah. So
it's very. NPR.
It had that NPR vibe, which is why. Yeah. That's why
it was a Tuesday.
Like
I saw clips with like Marin backstage. And
yeah,
stuff.
Marin's
I still
in it, and
it.
Marin does a nice part in
that
it.
That part, you know, and that part, and having met Marin,
sure.
He was exactly playing Mark Maron.
Yeah, and Mark Maron's
he was playing a guy.
He
that...
wasn't playing Mark Maron. He's playing somebody else. But exactly, he's doing. And he wasn't Mike Birbiglia in the movie. He had a character. His Matt something was his character's name. But yeah, I mean, the movie just it gets comedy completely right. But again, that's
why I recommend.
But that's not. Oh, I wouldn't recommend it to you based on that. Rob is what I'm saying is, you know, like whether the comedy's right or wrong, it doesn't make it more entertaining to somebody who wouldn't know the difference.
Right.
If you know the difference, then it's cool to see them get it right.
I would.
But at the same time, the movie, I didn't really laugh. I think I maybe laughed once.
You're a tough sell.
No. I like. Trust me, I got a whole list of good movies. I got for our show.
All right.
But this Sleepwalk with Me, man, I'll tell you, oof.
Well, it's a sleepwalk. No. I would say...
It's interesting from the comedy perspective, and I thought that's why we should talk about it in some way. I want to talk about it on the worst
movies of
the year.
I would recommend it to people that are interested in comedy.
Sure.
That's where I would recommend it. I would not recommend it to my, like, film group.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of, you know, like, right. it's not it for everybody.
Because I saw a guy have it on his top 10.
I did not have it on my top 10.
And so. I went like, really? No. And I maybe it was before I saw it on a guy's top 10.
Yeah.
And then when I realized I could get on Netflix, I said, okay, well, let me watch this. And then, oh, geez, this is what I'm supposed to like this. That's kind of how that's what disappointed me more than anything. Is this is made for me, I'm supposed to like this, and yet I didn't like it.
Well. I think it was overall.
That's why I feel like it was a bad movie.
Overall, it was good. I didn't think it was a
no,
bad
movie. No, I thought it was.
It didn't make my top 10.
Right. Again, I'm not putting it in my worst.
I'd give it a B+.
Okay, I'd give it a C+.
But, you know.
Yeah, okay. All right, well,
I thought, you know what I was liked about it was that he wasn't exactly a conventional hero. He didn't actually behave appropriately, and he's kind of disappointing.
Yeah, well.
Which I think is a different choice in a movie. So, you know.
Well, yeah, but he's a guy who also, like, doesn't try and succeeds anyway, which is sort of, I don't know. I just find it harder to buy it. It was hard to root for the guy.
I liked it because, and I'm spoiling, he didn't learn a lesson.
No.
Almost every movie, it's about a guy going, boy, you know what? I am living life too fast. I got to take time for my family.
Oh,
okay. All right. Well, that's.
This is a movie about a guy who goes, I got to get this comedy career going. So fuck it. I'll do that. Like every other movie is all about like your career is bullshit. You got to really spend time with Taya Leone. You got to really sit.
Well. But see, I think you're giving him too much credit for even wanting the success. I feel like he's out on the road and this dumb agent lady they put in there, which is a stereotype, calls him and says, well, now we need you to go to this town. And he just goes, all right.
He's kind of indifferent about his career once he gets into it. But he has this overwhelming desire like, I'm going to do comedy because that's the only thing he ever does.
Oh, okay.
All the other things, you know what I mean? They show all these other things in his life that he kind of goes, oh, I could do that. And stand-up's the thing he gravitates to, which I think so many comics do.
Yeah.
They do it not necessarily out of any... Believe me, if you looked at the business financially and you went, oh, that's my plan, you're an
idiot. Yeah, and they get that part of the movie right.
Most guys come into comedy because they didn't have any other option. It compelled them. The business drew them in, and they became a comic independent of their own ability to even stop it. They just ended up being a comic. And once you start doing it, it's hard to stop. As we know,
as
we've seen guys that should have stopped years ago.
I don't know. I'm still...
All right, Joel, unimpressed. Right.
I'm unimpressed. I mean, so what?
All right.
It's my opinion.
I thought of a worst film from last year.
Oh, there's a lot of bad movies.
My God.
Go ahead, give us yours, because we're going to do ours.
We just saw it last week.
Did you really?
Friends with Kids.
Really? Okay, I've not seen that.
God, was that fucking stupid.
What did you think of that, Corey? Did you see it?
It wasn't good.
And I mean, it was written and directed by John Hamm's like live-in girlfriend,
yes,
like Goldie Hawn style you know, and she stars in it, like
well,
and she can't act.
Think he had something to do with that getting made?
Of course,
when John Hamm says I'll be in this, that
the good.
Well, and it had Kristen Wiig, and I mean, it had all kinds of great people.
It had
but
good
it
people in it.
Sucked
and
ass.
It was mushy.
Yeah, and not
it didn't
funny
go, it didn't
at
go
all.
Anywhere, yeah.
Not really funny.
Well, yeah, I mean that's sure. I mean, Sleepwalk with Me has maybe quality. That. Well, I'm looking at my worst because I think I have movies like that this year.
Well, we're going to do a whole list.
I know we're doing a whole list.
All right.
I know
we're jumping in with that one.
Well, that's good. Yeah, it's I'm glad you're seeing bad movies. I'm glad. That's good to hear.
This guy was a late breaking addition to my Assholes of the Year.
Oh, Assholes of the Year. Go ahead.
He might make the 2013 list.
Yeah.
But I might forget about him. Alex Jones.
Oh, well, yeah.
Did you see his performance the
other
night?
Last night with Pierce Morgan.
Oh, my God.
Was ridiculous.
What a... my God.
That guy... but, you know, here's the thing about that.
He could have been on the list all year long.
Well, he's been up to this shit forever, it's not like it's new. But here's my feeling about Alex Jones. There's no need for me to make fun of the guy or try to embarrass the guy, and here's why. Just watch what he did on the show. I can't make him sound any worse than he is. I can't insult him. I mean, and the other thing is, there are people dumber in the world than Alex Jones. There are people who are stupider and have no intelligence and make more rational arguments. And those are people that follow him. Those are the only people dumber in the world than he is. Like, he is the smartest guy in the room when he talks to those people. Because it is the dumbest, most idiotic performance, like... I mean, and we're talking like Morton Downey Jr. laughs at the hyperbole that Alex Jones puts into his arguments. Nothing makes ever, you know, I mean, he was accusing, like, you know, Pierce Morgan is a redcoat from the Revolutionary War. And it's just like bizarro. The guy is so weird. Yeah, I mean, I get why he's the asshole of the year, but for the love of God, if nobody puts him on anything, it's got to marginalize the guy. Even though it'll add fuel to his fire and say, everyone's trying to shut me up, man. No one wants to put me on any shows. I'm being blackballed from the media. It's like,
Piers put him on. Piers put him on. Yeah, you're right. Well, no, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes.
The guy's a complete moron.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're not putting me on TV because I'm too dangerous for you.
Sure.
And then they put him on TV and he's a moron.
Right, right.
And people go, that's why we didn't put you on TV.
Yeah. Well,
but Piers put him on because Piers is desperate for any kind of attention.
Sure.
Now, when I'm sympathetic to Piers Morgan, you know you're an asshole.
Yeah.
The guest is a complete asshole if I go, God, Piers is right about this. Because Piers is such a fucking fathead dink himself.
Well, Piers is not just a little bit right. Piers is completely 100%
right.
Correct. Sure. Against any of these guys, the NRA guy or Alex Jones or any of these people, in that the gun people, the Second Amendment people, you know, you can't trample on the First Amendment to protect the Second Amendment. That's against the Constitution as well. And, you know, so to say that, you know, we've got to throw Piers Morgan out of the country is every bit as stupid as people who are, you know, I mean, guns, you can't take away people's guns as long as there's a Second Amendment. That's not going to happen. So having said that, if you want to have a debate, let's have a debate. Or you can just yell at somebody and accuse them, you know, and these guys, and Piers Morgan has said, I'm not trying to take away people's guns. But let's talk about the issue, and Alex Jones won't talk about it.
Well,
he'll just talk about how he's a redcoat that's coming to invade.
The best part is he started like
he's wearing the Jolly Roger.
He started making fun of Piers's accent.
Exactly.
He's like, oh, I can talk like this too, and I'm going like that's the most clown behavior.
It really was like
I'm going. The guy's from England. Yeah. Of course he talks like that. I mean, you can whatever.
It was grade school bully level dialogue. It was like not even. Like an intelligent debate or a put down or that had facts behind it.
And he couldn't answer the one basic question Piers kept asking over and over again. What purpose does a regular citizen have with an AR-15?
Yeah.
And the guy couldn't answer that at all.
Right.
And he's like, well, the government keeps arming up with guns against us. I'm like,
right.
Guess what?
I'll answer the question.
We're not beating fucking Predator drones and tanks.
Okay.
But we don't have those. So, you know, we're going to fight back against the government. Fuck that.
But the problem with here's the gun people. Here's the answer. Yeah. I'll answer the question that if I was I'm a gun guy. Here's the Second Amendment allows me to own this gun. Therefore, I will own it if I choose to own it. That's the correct answer. The correct answer, and he says, what purpose is? He says, it doesn't fucking matter what my purpose is. The law allows me to own this, and I'm choosing to own this. End of discussion. But the gun people won't say that because then they're going to sound like assholes. So they would rather scare people and make them think, well, the government's going to come for you. That's why we need the AR-15 because guys like you are knocking at the door with your red coats on and your big hats. And it's like, it's just like the guy's an idiot. Yeah, he is an all-time asshole. I mean, the 9/11 stuff, which now I'm hoping that is that, speaking of conspiracy, is that over? Or are there still new 9/11? Because I feel like that was hot a few years ago.
That seems to have cooled off.
Yeah, I feel like that because they made that Loose Change movie and a bunch of now, stuff, and that sort of got hot for a minute.
Not to open up a big wound.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sold on what happened in New York.
Yes.
I don't think we have enough information because of the nature of it being the Pentagon.
Right.
I don't think we have a lot of information about the Pentagon situation because it's a government building.
Well, what do you think?
I'm just saying
happened?
There is something I would like more information on the Pentagon.
Well, it doesn't exist, so
exactly.
I feel like, you know, a plane fell out of the sky and hit the building. What do you need?
Is that one's not as well documented as New York, where thousands of people witnessed it and saw what was happening, and we have documentation from multiple angles. And we have all sorts of news reports.
Yeah, well,
and
but see,
the
that's
Pentagon
just...
situation, we don't have as much information about.
Right.
I could go. There's room to look into that and go, I want more information. With the whole buildings don't burn like that, that's complete nonsense.
Well, but I mean, at the same time, either, you know, the plane crashed or it didn't, and you know, you can't, it wasn't a partial plane crash. You know, the plane crashed completely. Into the building. It's, you know.
Well, the conspiracy theories that I've heard is that it wasn't, in fact, one of the airliners that hit the Pentagon. It was like one of the F-115.
It was a missile.
Because it was you know, there's like two gas stations like across the street,
yeah.
And like their video footage was confiscated, right. Never seen by anybody.
Sure.
So
I'm not,
and the size of the hole and blah blah.
I'm not even saying there's a conspiracy. I'm just saying that some of the information about the Pentagon seems to have been vanished.
Yeah.
And that's generally what leads you to people to go think there's a conspiracy is when they make things inaccessible.
Right.
Now, Alex Jones is a complete twat, and I just named him an asshole of the year.
Oh, sure.
But that's the only part of the 9/11 thing that I'm open to go, tell me more.
Yeah, but you can't, my feeling is you can't be open to one, you know, it's either there is a complete conspiracy or there isn't, you know, like people will believe, you know.
Sure.
Like people in the Kennedy assassination will believe Oswald shot, but yet there was still a conspiracy and he didn't even know anything about it and all this stuff. And my feeling is either have it one way or another. Was there a conspiracy to kill Kennedy or was there not? Did 9/11, was it terrorists taking down airplanes or was it not? And it was terrorists taking down airplanes and Oswald did act alone. And you can't sort of have it both ways.
Well, you could, but
facets to 9/11, and
there are many facets to 9/11. You know, but
there were definitely terrorists taking down planes. I mean, sure. No doubt. But what exactly happened at the Pentagon is sketchy. There's no footage of it. All I'm saying.
Now, this, I don't want to sound like a kook because
You are.
Thank you. No, because the overall overriding argument for why it was an inside job is that they wanted this to begin with, but we've pretty much well established that the Bush administration was going to invade Iraq, no matter what. That was their plan. Cheney had a boner for invading Iraq for 30 years. They were ready. They wanted to get back at for Bush Senior, and the whole thing.
Sure.
So they were going to drum up some reason to go into Iraq, no matter what. So I don't get the incentive on 9/11. And the other part of it is the administration looked too incompetent based on their subsequent track record to pull something off like that.
So, well, yeah.
It's the same thing with the moon landing.
That's too big
of an operation.
Right. Well, you could say the same with the Kennedy assassination.
An assassination is a gun, though. It's a bullet. It's okay.
Right. But
Bobby Kennedy was an even smaller hit job.
Okay, well,
in the case of Bobby Kennedy, there were three other guns that were in the room that were confiscated by the LA police and destroyed that never got forensics tested on them. That's why people have conspiracy theories, is shit like that.
Right, but I also feel like people, you can't pick and choose the parts of the thing that you want to disagree with just for the sake of argument. You know what I mean? There are people resent the fact that something happened and it's not the way that they wanted it to. And so they sort of have it both ways. Or they say, well, this I'm into, but not that, or this, but not that.
Well, I resent that John Lennon was killed, but I don't believe there was a conspiracy involved in that.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, there's...
Oh, people do?
No, because there was a complete police investigation, and there were witnesses.
But John...
There's a different... You know
John
what I mean?
Was covering up for the fact that Paul was replaced in 1966.
Oh!
Because he was killed in a car crash.
That's right, Paul.
And that's why George Harrison was...
Paul is
died
dead.
In 2001.
That's the best.
Well, Clarence, the fifth Beatle, he's the one who had the...
Clarence, yeah. They stole everything from me!
play his backwards. Let's steal all Clarence's songs.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rob just referenced an Eddie Murphy sketch from Saturday Night Live from 30 years ago.
That was it? Oh, okay.
That was hilarious. Yeah, he was the fifth Beatle.
Oh, okay. I don't even know that
sketch. It was basically Beatles songs all had sax in them.
Oh, okay.
And then like he'd play his track, and it was like him playing sax over Can't Buy Me Love.
Oh, okay.
And then they went, and he was like, they took the sax out, and it was great.
And then he said, if you play the records backwards, and they played them backwards, you hear, John... Let's steal all Clarence's songs.
Okay, well, that's a new one. There is a drummer that claims he plays on the Beatles records.
Oh, yeah?
There's an old... It's a black guy from New York who played on a bunch of old records, and he's claiming that that he played on, like, the first four Beatle albums. That Brian Epstein flew the tapes over. The band didn't know anything about it, but he needed to overdub the drums because Ringo was so bad,
right? Sure.
That he had to overdub the drums, and then like Beatles historians go, well, like there were these Star Club tapes where you couldn't hear the drums, and it's documented that they were overdubbed at a later date, and that's probably what the guy's referring to. But the guy still, like, at his
Yeah, but
death.
Those were Pete Best drums.
Right. At the Star again, Club. But I'm saying this guy is so out of it, he doesn't even realize. He did play on Beatle recordings, but he has the story completely wrong. But he takes credit. Again, he's a guy that sort of, you know, takes credit for, anyway. All right, enough of that. Enough
All
Beatle
right.
bullshit. Okay, what else have we got to do today? Assholes of the year?
I'm good.
You're good? That's it for the show?
No, I don't
You're
know.
You're done? You don't like me attacking your Pentagon theory.
Was That's there any other... Don't like. I don't have a theory. I just want to have more information.
Oh.
Is there any more assholes that you left on?
I don't know. I mean, Alex Jones, I mean, that's all new. The Sandy Hook thing broke, like, the day we put up
yeah.
the Assholes of the yeah. Year show, which was, like...
That really...
I think people weren't in the mood for the show. At the
well, I'm going to say that...
You know, we're, like, ripping... Yeah. And it's funny because we...
Adam Lanza, you're an asshole of the year for killing our Assholes of the Year list.
It's funny because when we did the show... We said, that hadn't even happened yet, Sandy Hook, but we were more referring to the guy in Aurora, where we said, you're not merely an asshole of the year because you went out and killed a bunch of people. It's more about, you know, duplicity
uh-huh.
and sort of phoniness and not, you know, somebody who is just purely evil
yeah.
or just does a bad thing.
Yeah.
That's not what Assholes of the Year is about.
Like Jerry Jones.
Yeah, and we... Well, a Mike Shanahan or Robert Griffin III or his doctor.
Wow.
Pick out who's the asshole in that move.
That'll be a 2013 nomination.
Because that's weird, though. I mean, that's an odd, you know...
Unbelievable.
At what point do you let the guy who's the future of your franchise decide if he can still play the game? And then the doctor standing right next to him, but he goes, I never got to see him. It's like, what are you fucking there? To warm his balls? Why are you not looking at his knee? They fly you there.
Yeah, that was pretty pimp. They had him on the sideline.
But I mean, what's the purpose?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, the purpose has only got to be you're this doctor who's America's greatest surgeon. Your job is to tell him, hey, he can't play anymore. Get him out of the game.
I'd say
and
if
now
there's
he's,
an authority.
And he's
yeah.
got his hands in the air going, well, I never got to look at the knee. What are you doing there? Fucking waving a pom-pom, Andrews?
I guess he was.
Pick out what you're doing because now the guy's fucked.
I think the NFL needs to do, and we've seen this in all these cases that are happening of terrible injuries in the NFL.
Yeah.
They need to look at the model of the rest of the world.
Which is what?
And they invest in the magic spray.
No, yeah.
If they had
I like your theory
the
on magic spray. I like that.
That they use in FIFA.
No, I agree
when
with you.
When a guy falls down and his leg's broken in half, when Lionel Messi gets kicked in the thigh and he screams in agony and pain,
yeah.
the guy runs out there and hits him with the magic spray.
No.
Well, that's what I thought.
He's
I
all
thought,
good.
I've seen that in Japan. In Dream, they wake the guy up with the magic spray.
Why don't they use the magic spray? You shoot that on RG3's
right
knee.
Right on RG3's
he's
knee.
He's fine.
RG3 went into that little shed. I thought Andrews was in there doing his fucking Miyagi-Do.
Fucking his dick in there.
Yeah,
I know.
I thought it was all over, man. He's coming out, and it's like, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Yeah, it's the whole thing is weird, man. The whole thing is like, how do you let this happen? I mean, I guess... People get so delusional about like a player and his quality and that we can only win with him.
Right.
That they just believe in a guy until he's broken down by
Kirk
the side
Cousins
of the road.
Came in and lit it on fire, didn't he?
Well, and how did that field get so shitty? Oh my God.
Conspiracies.
That was terrible.
Maybe it has to do with the Pentagon.
And look,
it's not far.
It's not far.
It's not there. Far.
Yeah.
What happened is they buried the rubble from the Pentagon underneath the stadium.
Is that what happened? That's all.
Yeah, it's there with Jimmy Hoffa.
The plane, maybe the and plane hit the
that
field.
That field looked like ground zero.
All right, we've been inappropriate and wrong.
No, look, Robert Griffin, that could be... If I was a Redskins fan right now, I might be considering him for Assholes of the Year because here's a guy who maybe he doesn't play football next year. And
it was bad because when he got sacked, and if you're not a football fan, go suck it.
Yeah,
but
tuna.
If you're... Go back to your kitchen and be awkward.
and hilarious.
Oof.
Thank you. But what happened on the... You know, the play before... He got sacked, like, a big, huge hit. Like, the guy blew him up.
Yeah.
The Seattle defender just blew, like, just blew through the whole line and tore Robert Griffin up. And you went, oh, he should probably come out. And then they let him in. And the next play, his knee exploded like the Death Star into a thousand sprinkling lights.
That was an all-time low, I think, for... For the year, but
it looked like Theismann quality, like his knee, like
his knee and
his dislocated knee. From his body. It was bad.
His knee and leg were like his knee and foot were on the ground at the same time, and he was still upright. So that was was kind of a crazy.
Did you guys hear about last night with Brent Musburger talking about McCoy's girlfriend?
Yeah,
It's funny because I was playing trivia. We were doing bar trivia, uh-huh. And we were all making those jokes about.
Oh yeah,
because I looked at the girlfriend and I went, "Hey, it's good to be a quarterback, isn't it?"
And Musburger,
and that's exactly what Musburger said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like, kids in Alabama start throwing around the ball in the backyard with pops. Because
as someone who doesn't watch college football. Was the game that bad that it was all shots of reaction shots of the girlfriend?
I didn't watch it. I actually just heard that.
Oh, did you?
Today.
Okay.
Yeah. I only saw the game because I was playing bar trivia and it was on in the background.
Yeah.
And Alabama was blowing them out. It was like 28-7, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they kept going to the girlfriend. You know how they'll do. You know, we had to look at, Brenda, what was the chick from.
Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner's dyke haircut wife with the diesel dyke buzz cut. They kept flashing to her.
Yeah.
Well, this girl was actually gorgeous, and his mom was young. And not an unappealing lady.
Yeah.
So, you know, they kept flashing to his mom and his girlfriend standing next to each other. And Brent Musburger pointed out the obvious. Big fucking whoop. Well,
He just seemed a bit too excited about it.
Come on. He didn't go, I want to plant my face in those melons.
Well, they made it. Because I remember I clicked on a headline today, and they made it sound like, Brent Musburger, inappropriate comments towards girlfriend. And I go, what did he say? He said, she's so good-looking or something.
Yeah, I didn't interpret it as inappropriate.
Pretty,
I just thought it was odd that he just kind of kept talking about her, and it was just like, wow, quarterbacks, boy, oh boy, they do well.
Well,
and it was just really, really excited.
Well, she was hot. What do you do?
It's very Joe Biden-esque, in a sense.
Yeah.
Remember his thing that he did last week, where he's bringing in the Senate's family for photo ops, and he said to the girl, holy mackerel.
Couldn't even hold it.
But I mean, you know what I mean? But if you see an attractive girl, holy mackerel is inappropriate, I think, right? Would we all agree? There's worse things you can say, but if you saw a girl in a, that, you know, you're not.
Well, it wasn't like second and six on Alabama's 34, and I can smell that pussy from here.
No, it
smells like the sweetest fragrance imaginable.
Yeah, right.
It's like hibiscus flower.
Right. He wasn't
A walk through a botanical garden.
He was immaculate joy. He was like Alan Arkin in Little Miss Sunshine.
Right.
The young stuff. That's the best stuff in the world, right there. You get that. You get that young stuff.
Yeah,
they wasn't doing that. But they sort of, I think maybe.
It's like royal nectar. Her pussy juice is like what they feed the queen.
I think.
The best of the.
There is an inherent creepiness to old guy, young girl thing.
Yeah.
That when it's shown in public. Meanwhile, old guys walk around with young girls all day.
And
I guess you don't hear them commenting on it, it's okay? Or
I don't know. I guess I just thought it was odd, all the time. And yes, the game sucked, apparently. I didn't see it, but I heard the comments today, and it was just it just seemed really, really out of place to be talking about this guy's girlfriend like that.
But isn't the thing of a tennis match is they show the guy's girlfriend? Like Nadal and all those guys have hot girlfriends, but is it okay that that the tenant they don't comment on their looks?
I think it makes sense to show
they're
them.
Showing them because they're so attractive,
right? But
you just can't mention it. We all have to elbow each other, and
make
Brent Musburger can't say what we're all saying on the couch
watching the
fucking football game. He's an old pervert.
No,
for doing
I'm
it.
Not. I'm
but
not.
When you do it sitting in your PJs, then that's okay.
No, it just seems out of place. And I'm not some old coot, who's just like, hey, you shouldn't be talking like that on my TV.
Yeah.
No, it's just, I just thought it was odd the way he was really, really excited about her looks.
Yeah.
She looked good.
She looks good.
She does.
I saw swimsuit pictures of her, and it's not as good.
What if Mike Tirico?
She looked better sitting in the stands, in a sense.
What if Mike Tirico was calling that game? Would they be upset too?
Mike Tirico's got a reputation.
He'd be like, "Damn, damn, that bitch is sweet, dude." Shit.
Maybe got it going on.
I don't know if Mike Tirico.
Yeah.
You don't think he's capable of anything like that?
I don't
that?
Know if Mike Tirico sounds like Cat Williams' bodyguard.
Is that Tracy Morgan?
Kevin
or
Hart?
Cat Tirico?
Oh, fuck! Yeah. Tracy
Damn.
Morgan go. Oh, fuck the game. I want to get some of that pussy.
I think Mike Tirico's like, wow, that is you're a really stunning girl. Let me tell you. Boy, you are a honey of a do. Let me.
Alabama got the ball, but I'm gonna put some balls on her, Mike DeRico. I'm gonna get her pregnant. Roll Tide.
I'm gonna get you pregnant.
Yeah, that's.
Thank you. Horrible impressions. Brad,
there it is.
By Joel Radio.
There it is.
610-552-0746. Do your Tracy Morgan impression.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
Call in with your Tracy Morgan or your impressions of. Well, we should all have jobs where they're cutting to our girlfriends. That would be good, right? That would. But that is a thing that you only.
As long as our wives don't see our girlfriends.
You only see the. Oh, you guys are married. Jeez, I can't.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, that's why my girlfriend's not on TV. My wife doesn't see it.
But what? But I mean, what other jobs do they cut to your wife really while you're working?
Pretty much sports.
It's sort of a sports thing.
Maybe if you win an Oscar.
Yeah, bowling.
Yeah, but that would be at the award ceremony.
Oh yeah, yeah, they're at the table. Yeah,
but that's during the ceremony. That's not during the show. You know what I mean? Like you want to watch? I don't know. Like CSI, and they cut to some guy, the actor's wife at home. That'd be good, right? Like, isn't that the equivalent of it?
Well, the weird part was when you saw Letterman's wife in the box with him.
I saw Letterman. I watched the Oprah interview with Letterman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you never see Letterman's wife, and she was at the Kennedy Center.
There's a reason you don't see Letterman's wife.
Thank you.
One of the most annoying ones was when Tony Romo was dating Jessica Simpson.
Oh, yeah. They couldn't get enough of her.
And she had her, like, pink cowboy jersey on. Oh, God, that was obnoxious.
Well, they make Kate Upton, not that Kate Upton's, like, at the Tiger games.
Right.
But she's dating Verlander, and they're like, you'll be watching a Tigers game, and they'll flash Kate Upton on the, they'll bust out her, SI pictorial.
That's worth seeing.
So it really is all about how hot the chick is. That's if there's anything wrong with it, it's not so much Brent Musburger talking about it. It's that the producers or somebody go like, it would be interesting. He's got this hot wife or this hot girlfriend.
We've made progress in America because we now actually think this is an issue.
I don't.
That chicks are hot. This is now suddenly a fucking breaking news story. There's been hot chicks forever.
Athletes get hot girls?
Yeah, really.
I don't have an issue with it. I just thought it was odd, his discourse.
Did he? Well.
The way he spent time.
I thought his discharge was odd.
Yeah. It was hot.
Well, but I mean, why can't we have a sports? But see, that's weird that, there's outrage. And yet,
I wouldn't say there's outrage.
I would say there's outrage.
It's a tempest.
I would say there's outrage because there's nobody watching the college football game that actually, would be a college football fan or somebody that watch that would care about that at all. Like, no one's offended by that.
No.
It's all people who, it's all guys, horny guys watching that.
I think the fact that he's out of character.
Yeah.
Like, every time, somebody's got a hot wife, he's not like, oh, wow.
Okay. But if you go into the stands at, I don't know, with this college, but go to a Lions game, like the commentary or even a Tigers game, the commentary in the stands is completely X-rated and it's completely foul.
Yeah.
And when they flash a hot girl on the Jumbotron, everybody talks about her tits.
Yeah.
And and this is like, in the stands, anywhere you want to sit,
right,
this is going on. But now the guy does it on TV. Well, he does the same sort of, locker room
humor.
This
is exactly everything we hate about Ellen.
Right.
It's everything I hate about the culture in general.
Well.
There is a gap between reality and what this perception that what we should behave like is.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it is. Brent Musburger did nothing that every guy with a fucking working penis that looked at the television and went, oh, she's cute. They all did that.
Minus the gays.
Okay, well, thank you.
Well,
they went, I love her hair. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? She was objectively, she was
objectified?
Sorry, she was objectively, not subjectively.
Okay.
Objectively attractive.
Okay.
All of the things that we use as a society to measure what attractive is, this girl falls right in the middle of
and
it.
And objectified.
Right.
She was objectified.
But you know what I'm saying? She was gorgeous. And Musburger pointed it out. And he's 70 years old. So he remembered when you could slap asses on the street and get away. Hey, honey, that's a nice caboose.
Well, he used to sit with Jimmy the Greek every week.
Exactly. Oh,
and Irv Cross.
Yeah.
And they used to sit there.
What was
there
the girl
on,
there?
Miss America. What was her name? She's still around.
Thank you.
No, she was Miss America.
We're old people.
I know. We're so old we can't figure out what her name was. I can completely picture her, too.
The NFL on
CBS. She was the first female, sports reporter.
You know, in 1994, we would have sat around here for hours going, what was the name of that chick that we used to use? Now I'm going to look it up.
Speaking of that, I was thinking about the other day. Can you imagine, speaking of 9/11, can you imagine if we had, would have had Facebook and Twitter on during
9/11? Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. That's the, you know, that's, that could be the assholes of the year. Anyone who's outraged about anything on Facebook. Just,
you know what we did have? We had talk radio.
Yeah, we did.
And I remember people freaking out on 9/11 on talk radio.
Yeah.
The problem with that is it goes out in the air and it disappears. You never hear
it. Yeah, well, that's the thing.
Right.
See, I wish people went, instead of post, I wish Facebook was like, too, like, you know, you had
Phyllis George.
Phyllis George.
Oh, that's right, that's right. That's
now,
right.
You know, the Jimmy the Greek and Musburger were sitting there going,
oh, absolutely.
I'm going to take the Raiders over the Chiefs and Phyllis George. I'm going to take you over to my place. What do you think? Yeah.
Right, no, those guys.
You know that was nothing.
Yeah,
but
I'm sure that was happening there, but you know, I was saying is I wish Facebook was like 48 hours old, and that you could have a chance to delete the stuff before it went out there, because I feel like everybody sort of instantaneously voices their opinion,
mm-hmm.
which no one's opinion is very informed at that point. Everybody's outraged. I mean, you know, I don't know how much you know, because I told Corey when this happened. What did we
look
what
at? What happened with Sandy Hook?
Right, you talked about Sandy Hook.
No, but the stories were all wrong.
Oh, right, right, right. Yeah.
They all said that she was a teacher there. They all said that she was in the classroom.
Yeah.
And he shot her, and then they found her
right,
dead
and
at
then
the house.
Yeah.
They thought it was the other.
Sure.
It wasn't even the right guy. They had his brother named initially.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, that instantaneous reaction, we don't have the facts.
But, yeah, because you said, I think, was it Sandy Hook we were talking about? We were talking about it on the phone one day, and you said, yeah, how come no one's outraged about Sandy Hook today as opposed to yesterday? And I said, it's because Instagram changed their terms of service, and there's not enough outrage to go around, and now everyone's mad. You know, like, people instant, it's a knee-jerk thing, and, like, I'm going to, I mean, how much of Facebook, what percentage about, you know, Hostess collapsing was last year's Facebook? You know what I'm saying? Like, that was a story for a week that people couldn't shut the fuck up about.
Right.
And nobody cares. It's not an issue. And I just wonder if there's just, you know, people that should just, like, be quiet and you know, don't say any, you know, tell us what's going on in your life. That's what it's there for. It's not for you to comment about something that you have no fucking idea what you're talking about.
In a sense. Yeah.
I mean, that would that not make it better?
People are desperate to be heard.
I guess so.
People really are desperate to have someone listen to them and pretend they care.
Yeah, they make their own show with their name in it.
And there's the asshole.
And then whoever does that,
anybody who posted their political views during the election, I think is a fucking asshole.
Yeah, I can see that.
They make snickerdoodles and they put it on YouTube.
We need to encourage more of. Okay. But you know, I mean, it's to say, like,
that's
why not?
You know what? I obviously, as a guy who makes political comments
you
on
do,
Facebook,
yes.
It's annoying, but I tended to find my argument was with the people that had shit that was unfounded.
Okay.
If you're going to have, I don't care if you put up your argument and you got a point behind it, but people would just blather their shit on Facebook and not know what they're talking about.
Yeah, well,
is one better than the other? No, but I at least hope that my stuff had a point to make.
Okay, but. All right.
Maybe if I was technically savvy, I could pull that fucking article up. But
no,
I found out who
was on the celebrity diving show.
Let's give it up to Rob Rose.
Yay! Thank you.
Thank you, Rob Rose.
Thanks.
Thank you for coming in here and joining us on Joel Radio. And
I'd like to thank Mike DiRico,
Tracy
Morgan.
You know,
awkward.
Michael Strahan for stopping by.
We did lots of white voices today, didn't we? Anyway, let's...
Brent Musburger. We did a terrible... Nobody even did the Brent Musburger.
I wouldn't be good at that. Yeah.
Remember that when
you are looking live at Mile High Stadium in Denver, Colorado.
Oh man. All
that
right.
Type of shit.
Well, let's say goodbye. Corey, thank you for joining us.
Sure.
We're gonna do our best movies of the year next time, I think. And the worst movies, right?
Oh God, I
the
got
master.
So many.
I know. Well, we could have
The Master.
Know, I mean,
wait, is that best or worst?
Worst.
Oh no. Stop fighting, gentlemen.
Them's fighting.
No fighting in here.
I have one.
This is the war room.
I have one on my list that has already caused controversy on the
best movie, worst movie.
Worst movie.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. Well, we've got some that I'm sure will be everybody's worst movie, and I think we've got things that I don't know. Like I said, Sleepwalk with Me doesn't count, but I've got some doozies too, so We'll get to all those next time. Thank you again. Call the newly established.
I don't even have the Katy Perry movie on my list.
Oh, geez. I
should have, but
well,
I don't.
Yeah, we'll. Corey's forced to see a lot of bad shit.
Yeah, I know.
Which makes your list all the more fun. So, 1 week a year, you get share. Call the Rove Armstrong Memorial Douchebag Hotline at 610-552-0746 and get with it. Tell us who your assholes are, what you think of best and worst TV, maybe worst movies. Maybe you saw Sleepwalk with Me. Maybe you sleptwalk through it. I don't know.
Maybe you have a case of Planters cheese balls.
Yeah, if you've been sitting on a case of Surge from 1996 and you want to...
If you've got Twinkies and old Coca-Cola sitting in your house, call 610-552-0746 and we'll talk to you then. All right, everybody. We'll catch you later. Joel Radio is out.
That gives you a hairy yarmulke.